Have you ever had a prayer that you have brought to God multiple times? We have such a wonderful blessing to be able to speak to God Almighty. We can praise His name. We can acknowledge the good things that He does in our lives. Thank Him for the blessings that He has given to us. But what I want to know is, what have we been asking of Him? What have we been asking for Him to do? And specifically, have there been any requests that have been ongoing prayers? Things that have maybe been month, year, decade-long endeavors where we have pleaded with God to answer this deep need. Tonight, I want to look at a story of 10 men who pleaded with God and had a miraculous answer, yes. But as we look at the story and as we think about the prayers that we've asked God to answer for us, if we've heard no possibly, I want to see what the text is telling us we might need more than a miracle. And so if you haven't already, please open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 to 19, focusing in on just those few verses between 11 and 19. And while you're turning there, allow me to just set the scene by reading the first few verses. Verses 11 to 13 read this. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now the text here wastes no time and jumps straight into the action by saying, Jesus, he's walking down between Samaria and Galilee when 10 men pop up. But not just any 10 men, 10 lepers. And they cry out to him for mercy. They call out, asking him for help. Now it is important for us to note the situation that these lepers were in, though. You see, notice how the text points out that they did not physically approach Jesus. Instead, verse 12 we read, they stood at a distance. Leprosy is an infectious disease. I won't get too far into it, but it basically attacks your nerves. It damages your skin. It makes your body very weak and can eventually lead to death. But in this situation, I think what might be even more important to note is the social stigma that was around it. You see, lepers in that day were outcasts. They were thrown away from everybody. They were cast out from their lives. And so these men, they were viewed as basically dead men walking. They did not have the same lives that they once had. And so not only are these people in emotional turmoil and physical pain, they are quite literally separated from their life. They don't have life. Meaning in verse 13, when they say, "Master, give us mercy," they were not kidding. In fact, they needed the mercy of Jesus to have life. And that is a big deal. But in their state of need, they end up doing the greatest thing possible. They go to God. They call out to Jesus. They ask him for help. And they not only call him Master, but in crying out for help and asking him for help, they are acknowledging that he has the ability to help him. Unlike everybody else in their lives, he has the sole cure to what to their affliction. And you can almost hear the hope in their voices as they see Jesus walking down the road and they cry out, "Lord, please help us. Help us. We know that you can help us." But then I want you to see in verses 13 to 14, Jesus' response. After crying out for mercy, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus, he hears the voice of the lepers crying out for mercy. He turns to them and he does a spectacular miracle. He cleanses all 10 of them. All 10 of them. They all have their lives back. And I want you to picture what that must have been like for them. Everything they had lost, they had now regained. Their families, their homes, everything. They could go back to these people that they had to leave. And with the severity we were just talking about, if leprosy truly separated them from life, Jesus is practically resurrecting these 10 people. He is completely giving them their lives back. What would that have been like? But then on a less specific note, I want you to think what it would be like if God one day turned to you, said, "I hear your cry and I answer your prayer." If one day he said that prayer that we were thinking about at the start of today's lesson, it's answered. It's yes. You're healed. Your affliction is taken away. Your sorrows are gone. Whatever it is, God has heard and he has said yes. What would that be like? How would we feel? What would our response be to that? To that incredible miracle? Well, I want you to see what the response of those 10 no longer lepers is. See back the end of the story, back in the text, verses 15 to 19. Then, after this miracle, one of the cleansed lepers, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." 9 of the 10 are just never to be seen again. And before we continue, it is important, I think, for us to see the timing of all this that happened. Because while Jesus told them to go to the priest to be healed, that's not when they were cleansed. Right? Remember verse 14 says that as soon as they turned to leave, as they went, they were healed. And now the picture we have in verses 15 to 19 is of one man turning back to Jesus and falling at his feet in praise. One man turns back. And I think it can be easy to read this as that one man later down the road, he found Jesus again and praised him, or he by chance found him as he was traveling and remembered Jesus and praised him. But that's not what happened. You see, the way the text is presented, Jesus is right there when they were healed. They were not that far off. That the way the text is presented, it's as if those other 9 probably heard that one leper praising God, praising him, thanking him, and yet they still were not to be found. And I think that's kind of the point of this text. Despite Jesus being right there, 9 of them were not to be found. Now, I think the most interesting part of this text is Jesus' response to that one leper. What he says in verse 19. But before we get there, allow me to ask a question. For the 10 lepers, what cleansed them? What healed them of their affliction? You see, yes, Jesus' miracle healed them, absolutely. But what did they do that led them to being cleansed? What healed them? What was their action? And at first, this question is probably a little trickier than you might think. Verse 14, Jesus tells them to go to the priest to be cleansed. But they were all healed before they made it. They didn't make it to the priest and then they were healed. And we know this because, as I said, verse 14, and as they went, they were cleansed. And so it was something about their leaving that healed them, that led them to being healed. And I think the answer to this is actually found in verse 19, in Jesus' response to the one leper. Right at the end of the story, Jesus tells the one leper who came back, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." Now, while Jesus was only talking to the one leper here, I think it's very important for us to note that all of the lepers also demonstrated faith. Those other 9 lepers also demonstrated some level of faith. The one leper who came back, he was the only one to show gratitude, but not the only one to demonstrate faith. And I can prove this by just showing you 2 different ways they showed faith. First, they all called out to Jesus. Right? They all cried to Jesus for help. They said that they knew he could help, and so they had the faith he could help, so they asked him for help. But 2, and I think probably more importantly, they went. When Jesus told them how to get healed, they went, and they did what Jesus said. That takes faith to do what Jesus said. And so it is very important that we don't say the other 9 had no faith. They had faith. And that is shown in the very fact that they all were healed, right? All 10 men were healed. But this does leave us with a very interesting situation. It leaves us with, I think, a question here. If all of them demonstrated faith, and if all of them were healed, then why would Jesus tell the one, only the one, that his faith had made him well? What is the meaning of that? Why tell the one that your faith has made you well when all were healed? When all demonstrated some level of faith. And notice how when the one leper comes back to Jesus, he doesn't just start berating the other 9. He asks, "Where are they? Was it just you who is to be found?" But he doesn't say, "Woe to the unfaithful. You know, how dare they not come back?" He simply calls them out and says, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." He praises the one. And I think our understanding of Jesus, of what Jesus was saying here, heavily relies on the words made well. If we can understand what Jesus meant by made well, then we can understand what he was talking about. And I think it is tempting when we read Jesus saying, your faith has made you well, to make it mean cured. To start thinking that Jesus said, your faith cured you. But that's not what it means. That's not what Jesus is saying. Although it might make sense, right? That Jesus was talking about the miracle he just did, which was manifested in the faith of the one leper. I think this misses a very key aspect of Jesus' ministry. In fact, I would say the key aspect of Jesus' ministry. We must always remember that Jesus came to save souls. That was his main mission. It was his pure mission, save souls. And when we read miracles like this, and we read passages like this, Jesus answering prayers of those who sought him, it is important to remember the following. Jesus did not come to heal the sick. And I know what that might sound like at first, but don't hear what I'm not saying. Jesus absolutely healed the sick. It's proof just in what we read. What I'm saying is when Jesus healed the sick, it was a byproduct of his main mission. It was not his central goal. Now again, I think it is tempting to read passages like the one we're looking at today and then come to the conclusion that Jesus came to earth to heal the sick. But I think this does a great disservice to what Jesus actually did. And I think this mindset is devastating for us. It sets ourselves up for failure. It ruins our relationship with Jesus when we just see him as the product of all these miracles that he did. And I think it's exactly what those other nine people did. What those nine lepers who did not come back, they only viewed him as the product of these miracles, only as the one miracle he did, missing the miracle worker for the miracle. They were so distracted by what they wanted then and there that they missed the chance to get down at the feet of God himself. They had God right there, and they were never to be found again. But Jesus was, and he is, so much more than a miracle worker. And I believe that if healing got in the way of his primary mission to save souls, he never would have healed a single person. Because that's how important saving souls are. Saving souls is far more important than healing wounds. And so we must seriously consider, when we read Luke 17, how do we define being made well? How do we picture it in our lives? What do we set as the standard of made well in our lives? See, our pains on this earth can be very distracting. And it can be so distracting that we, like the nine lepers, can forget that our eternal well-being is far more important than our temporary health and wellness. And so we must seriously consider and ask ourselves the question, would we rather be cured or made well? Would we rather Jesus answer all of our prayers, or would we rather fall on our face at the feet of Jesus? Which one is more important to us? Those nine lepers experienced a great miracle, but they missed their chance to be made well. And so when Jesus tells the one that his faith had made him well, he wasn't just talking about his skin. He was talking about his soul, talking about the chance he got to have a relationship with God himself. Now, I want to ask the question, why didn't the other nine return? Right, when we're reading this, I think it seems quite odd. If someone were to change your life in such a way that Jesus did to those nine, would gratitude not be the natural response? Why on earth would these nine people just, and if he's right there, why wouldn't they turn and thank him? Why are they never to be seen again? But before we're too harsh on them, I think it's important that we realize how easy it is to become like them ourselves. You see, the problem with those nine lepers weren't that they lacked faith or belief in Jesus' power. We've talked about that a little bit already. They believed he could heal them, and so they reached out to him and they did what he said. The problem with the nine lepers was that they were more interested in what Jesus could do for them than in Jesus himself. That was the turning point. You see, for years and years, they had dreamed of being healed. They dreamed of having their families back and their homes back, their lives back. And so in a moment, when all of it was restored, they ran towards the gift instead of the giver, instead of the one who had presented it to them. And so that the dividing line in the story is the fact that 10 men wanted healing, but only one man wanted Jesus. And that forces us to ask a very uncomfortable question. If God answered every prayer that we have prayed, would we still draw close to him? If God answered every plea that we've put in front of him, would we still seek him out? Or, let me put it this way, if God answered every prayer that we've asked of him, would we even still pray? How much of our prayers are filled with just asking him for things? If he said, you have nothing more to ask, how many of us would still have things to put before him? Or are we so focused on getting the gift, we've forgotten that we have the giver right here, Jesus right in front of us? The Samaritan leper understood something that the others missed. The greatest gift that Jesus gave him was not the restored skin, it was himself. And that is why he fell at the feet of Jesus and why the other nine were not to be seen again. And that is why Jesus said, your faith has made you well. The miracle restored the leper's body, but faith brought him to the Savior's feet. Faith brought him low, brought him to a relationship with his Savior. And now this picture of gratitude, of this one leper falling at his feet, I think gives us a very important fact about gratitude itself. And so looking at the Samaritan leper's response, I want us to notice this. Gratitude is not the source of faith. I think it's tempting to think that if I am very grateful, I am being very faithful. And while that might be true in part, the truth is gratitude is the fruit of faith. Gratitude comes when we are expressing faith. You see, the Samaritan leper did not return because he was naturally more thankful than the others. He wasn't just a grateful soul who then came back and thanked Jesus. He returned because he saw Jesus more clearly than the others. He returned because he knew what Jesus did in his life. And when faith sees Jesus for who he truly is, worship, gratitude, praise, all of those good things come naturally. They flow out of us. When faith is the priority, all of those other good things come out. And so, if we are struggling with any of those things, if we are noticing a lack of gratitude, a lack of praise, a lack of feeling like we want to draw close to Jesus, well then perhaps the solution is not a gratitude problem. The solution is not to focus really hard on being super grateful. Perhaps it's a faith problem. Perhaps it's a vision problem. Perhaps we need to change our perspective to reevaluate how we picture Jesus, how we picture the Savior. Perhaps we have become so focused on the gifts that we have forgotten the giver. The Samaritan leper saw more than a miracle. He saw Jesus. But then finally, if that is true, then I think we need to ask ourselves a very important question. If the faith of the Samaritan leper is so valuable, why is it so difficult? Or I can ask it the other way. Why is it so easy for us to become like the other nine lepers? Why is it so easy for for gratitude and faith to become less of a priority in our lives? And I think there are a few hurdles to this, a few hurdles that stand in our way. And the first is our expectations of God, our expectations. It is easy to begin thinking that because we have prayed faithfully, because we have trusted God, because we have waited patiently, then I have earned something, or that God owes me something. We may never say it that way, right? Who would say it that way? But the truth is, our relationship with God will reveal if our heart feels that way. That is just a truth that is revealed in our relationship with the Savior. We can begin to treat faith like a transaction where I am faithful, I trust God, and so he now owes me a yes on the prayers that I've asked. He now owes me to act in the way that I expect him to act. But that is not faith. That is not faith. Faith does not say, I am confident God will act in the way that I expect. Faith says, I am confident God is good no matter how he answers. Notice the 10 lepers. The 10 lepers, when they cry out to Jesus, they were asking for healing. As we pointed out, they needed Jesus' mercy to have life. If they didn't have the mercy of Jesus, they were dead men walking. But Jesus was under no obligation to give them it just because they asked. By definition, mercy is undeserved. The Samaritan leper seems to have understood this, and this is why, instead of leaving, he goes back to God and he responds with praise. Instead of saying, "I have finally been given what I am owed," he praises and worships God. That is the difference. When our faith is built on the getting the answer we want, disappointment will weaken our faith. But when our faith is built on the goodness of God Himself, even unanswered prayers cannot destroy it. The question is not simply whether we trust God enough to ask. It does take faith to ask God, to go in front of God and to ask Him for things. That takes faith. But the real question is whether or not we trust Him enough to accept whatever answer He gives. That is true faith. That is completed faith. And so do we expect Him to answer how we want just because we have the faith to ask, or do we have the faith to ask and then to be made well? Now, another hurdle I think that comes is the exhaustion from waiting. Many of us know exactly what it feels like to bring the same request before God over and over again, right? We pray, we wait, we pray again, we wait some more, and eventually discouragement, it sinks its way in. We start to wonder whether God hears us, whether He cares, whether He's even listening to us anymore. And if we are not careful, our entire relationship with God can be built upon one unanswered request. But it is in these times that we must remember the mission of Jesus. The whole mission of God was to save souls. Above all else, His primary, singular mission was to save our soul. And that means something very important. It means that He will do anything to keep us from becoming like those nine lepers, including telling us no. You see, what if in God is doing something deeper than answering the question we keep asking? What if in the waiting He is teaching us to cling to Him, to hold on to Him? If God instantly granted every request, everybody put before Him, how many people would seek Him just for those gifts? The nine lepers received exactly what they asked for, but they continued on their way, whereas the Samaritan found something greater than the answer to his request. He found himself at the feet of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God answers yes to our prayers. Sometimes He says not yet, and sometimes He flat out says no. But in every situation, in every response from God, it presents the same exact opportunity for us. And yes, not yet, no. The question is, will we continue to seek Him? Will it draw us closer to Him? In the no, will we cling to Him? In the yes, will we cling to Him? And the tragedy, the deepest tragedy of all, is not hearing God say no. It is so tempting when we are going through deep sorrows to think that the worst thing that could happen is if God said no in this moment. If God didn't answer my prayer, then that would be the worst thing possible. But that is not the tragedy. The tragedy we read in this text is of nine men who got exactly what they wanted and forgot God. That is the tragedy. Forgetting the Savior, forgetting the one who laid His life down for us. That is the deepest tragedy. And it may be that some of our greatest spiritual growth happens not when God grants our requests, but when the waiting teaches us that Christ Himself is enough. Is Christ Himself enough for us? And now at the heart of this, I think a difficult truth is presented. Too often, we do not value God enough. Too often, we value the things He's able to give us more than Him. We value health. We value comfort, security, money, opportunities. We value all of these things that in a vacuum are good things. Those are great gifts from God. But the problem comes in when we begin to treasure the gifts more than the giver. And that is exactly what happened to those nine lepers. They missed the forest for the trees. They stopped seeing Jesus and they just saw an outcome to what they wanted. And the moment they received what they wanted, they moved away from Jesus rather than falling down at His feet. And brothers and sisters, this trap is far too easy for us to fall into. How often do our prayers become more passionate when we have something to ask of God? How often does hardship drive us to our knees where blessing causes a drift in us? And how often do we seek God because we desire something from Him rather than just because we desire Him? When was the last time we praised God just because He's God and He's great and He gave us Himself? The Samaritan understood something that the others missed. The greatest blessing in front of him was not that restored health. The greatest blessing was Jesus. And until we come to that same realization, our faith will always struggle. Because every earthly blessing eventually fades. Everything eventually fades. Our health, our well-being, our money, even miracles only address temporary problems. But there is one gift that Jesus freely gives that lasts for eternity. There is something that can never be taken away from us. And when we truly value Him, Christ, above all else, we discover that no earthly gift can compare to the Savior. And now it is easy to say this on Sunday, and it is very difficult to say this when life gets hard, when trials come, when sorrows come. And I will tell you that I've prayed a great deal about this next statement because I know that for me, the hardest points of my life are yet to come. And so when I say this next thing, I want you to know I do not take it lightly. I say this knowing very fully that it's almost as if I'm inviting these things on. And I know that there are everybody in this room has faced more sorrows than I have. And so I've prayed deeply about this because I hope that when my tragedies come, I've not buried a parent yet. I've not had to walk with a spouse through great sickness. I've not lost a child. But I pray to God that when my dark times come, I will still be able to have the faith that says I would rather hear God tell me no for the rest of my life than hear yes and that be the last time I hear His voice. I pray that we all can have this faith. And I ask that you pray for me that I can have this faith. We should all have the faith of the Samaritan leper that saw Jesus. That saw so much more than a miracle. That was able to value the Son of God above all else. Because there is nothing more valuable. There is nothing more valuable than a relationship with Him. And so, brothers and sisters, next time you start pleading with God, I would urge you to ask yourself, are we seeking God or are we merely seeking what God can give us? God is not a wishing well, and I think we should all be grateful for that. He offers us something so much greater than a miracle. It is good that we take our wants to God. I do not want that to be the takeaway of tonight's lesson. You should keep praying to God, asking Him for putting your sorrows in front of Him. However, we must be careful that our relationship does not become built upon how we want Him to act. The very fact that we are able to have a relationship with God should be the greatest treasure of all. How much do we treasure that relationship? And if you choose to follow Jesus, I cannot promise you that all your prayers will be answered. I cannot promise that life will be easy, that health and wellness will be upon you. I'm sure there are many people in this room that can attest to that very fact, that just because you went under the waters, life did not get all of a sudden much easier. But I can promise you this. If you choose to follow Jesus, then you will be made well in a way that is far superior than any earthly longing. If you cling to God, you will have a cleansing that lasts for eternity. And that brings us back to where we began today. Every one of us has prayers we have desperately wanted God to answer. Some of us have been praying for years, decades, for our whole lives. Some of us are probably tired of hearing silence. Some of us have already heard no. But this story reminds us of something we can never forget. The greatest gift God can give us has already been shown to us on the cross. The greatest mercy has already been shown to us. The 9 lepers received exactly what they asked for but they walked away. The one received the same miracle, yet he found something greater. He found himself at the feet of Jesus. And so perhaps for us, the question is not, will God answer my prayer? Perhaps the better question is, what do I want most from God? What do we value most? Do I want relief from suffering, or do I want Christ? Because there may come a day when we have prayed 1,000 times for God to answer a prayer, and we still have heard the answer no. But I will tell you, if that no keeps us clinging to Jesus, then the truth is, you have found something far more valuable. In fact, you have found something more than a miracle. You have been made well. Let's go to God in prayer.